You know, one way to impress Jodie Foster would be to shoot the President of the United States.
John Hinckley saw the movie Taxi Driver at least 15 times. He'd taken the bus here from Los Angeles. On March 30th, 1981, he woke up at the now-defunct Park Central Hotel, planning to hop a bus to New Haven to kill Jodie Foster. In his book, Rawhide Down, Del Quinton Wilbur says Hinckley went out to get an Egg McMuffin. When he got back to his hotel to shower, he opened the Washington Star newspaper to page A4.
The president's schedule. And she's the president's scheduled to deliver a speech here at 2 p.m. to a trade union.
Hinckley was standing here along the wall on T Street near the Washington Hilton's VIP entrance.
At 2:27 p.m., Reagan emerges from the VIP entrance from the hotel.
For his book, Wilbur got never-before-heard Secret Service radio transmissions of that day as Reagan walked in the open toward his limousine.
When he gets about 15 feet, 20 feet away, Hinckley pulls out his gun and starts shooting.
Shots fired. Are some injuries there?
All of his shots, all six shots, he gets off in 1.7 seconds. It's that fast.
Six shots fired as President Reagan walked to his limousine.
The limousine peels out of this driveway here and takes off straight up T Street towards Connecticut. It makes a left down Connecticut. We're in D.C. We see presidential motorcades all the time. Imagine just the president in his limousine driving somewhere. That's what happened. They left everyone else behind. They were alone going down Connecticut.
At the time, the president and his Secret Service agent didn't realize the president had been hit.
Rawhide is okay.
Just kind of slumped over like a tired basketball player. And Jerry Parr's running his hands up and down his shirt, inside his jacket, through his hair, looking for blood because he's now seen three guys on the sidewalk. Reagan is starting not to feel so good. He's having trouble breathing. His face is turning ashen. His lips are going a little blue. And then he pulls out a napkin that he'd borrowed from the hotel, dabs his lips, and it's covered with blood.
Parr faced a life-or-death decision.
There's no security at GW. There may be co-conspirators at the hospital. Jerry Parr doesn't know. But if Reagan's not so badly injured, going to the White House is the safest course. It's the most secure building in the entire world.
Roger, we want to go to the emergency room of George Washington.
The ride from here, the Washington Hilton, to the hospital took only 3 minutes. The driver of the limousine actually never even looked at his speedometer because his foot was jammed down on the accelerator. It didn't matter.
Horsepower halfback, we have an arrival at GW.
About 15 feet inside the hospital doors, maybe 20. He collapses, bam, on the floor. His eyes roll in the back of his head. I interviewed one paramedic, and he thought Reagan's code city, meaning he's a goner.
He says the president came closer to dying that day than most of us ever realized.
One nurse is fighting back tears because she thinks the president's going to die. He looks that bad. They eventually get the IVs going. Another nurse cannot get his blood pressure. It's that low. She can't detect it.
Eventually, the president was rushed into surgery.
The doctor is frantically trying to find this bullet. He's digging around in Reagan's lung, and it's migrating. Every time he pushes down on the lung tissue, it slips away, and he starts having these panicky thoughts of, oh, my God, what if it slips into a major artery and goes to his brain?
But that didn't happen. The small bullet fragment was found. Wilbur says before the shooting, Ronald Reagan had record low approval ratings. That turned around while he was still in the hospital.
People saw, you know, he had these great one-liners that day. Honey, I forgot to duck. And when he saw his troika, the three top advisors, who's minding the store? And he's writing these great notes to nurses all night, like, all in all, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. He laughed at death.
President Reagan ended up serving 8 years in office. John Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity and has lived at St. Elizabeth's Hospital since. Over the years, a federal judge has allowed Hinckley to spend more time outside the mental hospital. Neil Augenstein, WTOP News.